Well, join with Billy and welcome everybody out. Invite everybody to get your Bibles and follow along as we will study from the Word of the Lord. And we hope and trust that our time will be profitable and beneficial. As you see, we're going to talk about this lady that anointed the feet and the head of Jesus. Her name was Mary, that we learned from John's account. And what is interesting, the extraordinary sacrifice and devotion and love that she demonstrates here right before Jesus would be crucified and then ultimately buried and, of course, be raised from the dead. And I don't know that I fully recognize and realize the magnitude of the sacrifice that she made. I was actually listening to, watching a video of Jaime Restrepo down in Manizales, Colombia. And he made reference to this and really got me thinking of a point I had not thought about. Oh, hold on. We don't want to upgrade right now. We're busy. It's just amazing, just the magnitude of the sacrifice of this fine saint. And that's our study. As Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, she will be mentioned as a memorial to her. All right, let's begin by just reading the three accounts and sort of getting the thoughts in our mind. In the book of Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And Jesus understood it. He said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment upon my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman had done, be told for a memorial of her." And then we turn to Mark's account. Mark chapter 14, verse 1. "After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. And they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? For she hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always. And she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her." And then the final account in John the 12th chapter, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, that had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there came, and they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one with them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor or the aroma of the ointment. Verse 4. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was this ointment sold for 300 pence? Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had a bag and bare that which was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, she hath kept this. For the poor you always have with you, but me you have not always. So there we have the three accounts of the woman, identified as Mary in John's account, that came and anointed Jesus with this very costly ointment, as described in this text. It is just an outstanding example of devotion. What's the matter? Huh? I think it needs an upgrade. Well, I've got a finger. I don't have to upgrade my finger. No, I got to do something because it's all locked up. Whoa, that's crazy. Whoa, that's super crazy. Whoa. Yikes. Wow. Yeah. I don't know. That's crazy. It's like, okay. It's like a story I heard one time talking about computers. Like when all else fails, you know, restart. So somebody said, you know, restarting, rebooting is kind of cover a multitude of sins. So anyway, we're going to get started up here momentarily, I guess. I don't know. Plug it up. I don't think it's out of battery. Yeah.
What's the name of the sermon? Where is it?
It'll be in my...
I'll plug it up.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, we got an HTA. That's a high-tech assistant there. All right. Very good. All right. But anyway, the devotion of this woman, the sacrifice, is just tremendous. It's amazing when you look at what she did here. And when you begin looking at the details to really comprehend and fully understand. And I guess that's why she's sort of singled out. I'm sure there were lots of people who made all kinds of sacrifices in the New Testament. We read of some of those examples. You read about like the early disciples there in the book of Acts, you know, selling houses, selling lands, giving the money. And then there was Barnabas. He singled out. And I suppose maybe just the magnitude of the sacrifice that was made, of why he is singled out and made. Maybe that's why Mary is singled out and identified, and Jesus said a memorial of her would be spoken of wherever she would be, wherever the gospel would be preached. So is it dead?
No.
Oh, wow. Yeah, all right. See? That's a good thing to have an HTA. Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, go ahead and plug it up. It said it had plenty of battery. Whoa, look at that. Yeah, it's working. Very good. Well, now it's small. I don't know where to change the settings on that. So this is total local with the computer today. All right. But anyway, her sacrifice and love is just really, it's absolutely incredible. As she comes to anoint Jesus. Now, you put the accounts together, it talks about anointing his body. One verse says his head, one verse says his feet. So she was putting this ointment that appears in various places as you sort of put the accounts together. It's kind of like what we were studying in the Bible class. You know, you read one account of Judas going out and hanging himself, and then Acts account talks about him falling asunder. What you got to do many times in the Scripture, you put them all together really to get the full picture of what's going on. And so it is with the accounts here of Mary and her devotion, her love for the Lord, the sacrifice, the tremendous sacrifice that she made. All right, now let's first of all talk about this ointment. In one place it's called spikenard. Spikenard it literally means pure nard. That is genuine nard. It's not something that's sort of watered down, but the genuine extract. Now, this perfume oil, according to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, talking about this ointment, it grows in the Himalayas. Now, we know what's of notoriety in the Himalayas because the tallest mountain in the world is in the Himalayas, and the tallest mountain is, Jacob?
Mount Everest,
yes, in the Himalaya Mountains. So, from the Himalaya Mountains, there were various planets, and the extracted perfume is an oil which was used by the Romans for anointing the head. Its great costliness is mentioned by Pliny. Right, first off, to get this from these plants, you have to travel all the way to the Himalaya Mountains from Palestine. That's a pretty good trek in and of itself. Then you have to climb up in the mountains. So there's another thing. You go up and find these flowers and these plants. And it's going to take a whole lot of them because each plant would only render a little bit of the oil. And you collect that all together to get this little vase, this little flask of the perfume of this oil, this spikenard that is described. And it kind of gives indication that it was very expensive. Now, when we read in the King James, it says that it was very costly. One of the definitions that I read, or other translation, extremely expensive. Extremely expensive. Of weighty value. Now, we read, okay, it was costly, but, you know, what do we count costly? What do we count extremely valuable? Well, it tells us in the text that the value was 300 pence, and one account says maybe even more than 300 pence. If you've got other translations, it says 300 denarii. So we think, well, 300, well, maybe $300. Well, $300 perfume is pretty expensive perfume, is it not? I mean, do we have anybody that pays more than $300 for their bottles of perfume around here? I don't know, some of the perfume Kathy's got, you know, maybe, depending how big the bottle is, you know, $35, $30, $40, etc. But we would think $300 would be pretty expensive. But that's not really the meaning of pence. One translation says shilling. One translation says, some of the newer translations says denarii, or denarius would be singular. I think denarii is plural. So we say, well, how much is that? Well, how much is that? Well, notice over in the book of Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Notice the couple of verses there in the parable that Jesus tells there in Matthew chapter 20. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder," that is, he owns this plantation, "which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard." So he's got this vineyard, so he's going out and hiring people to come and work at his vineyard. In verse 2 it says, "And when they agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard." Now, this King James says penny. Other translation says denarius or denarii. That is, for one denarius would equal a day's labor. So that's really how to understand this denarii would be a day's labor. One commentary or one dictionary says, talking about the denarii, it was the pay of a Roman soldier in Christ's time. So a soldier goes out and works, and he gets a day's pay, which would be a denarius. So that is a better way to understand this 300. When you say, well, how much is that? Well, just understand a day's work. You go out and work 8 hours. That would be the average work day, maybe 10 hours, possibly. But just think, as in our vernacular, you go out and work 8 hours. Now, whatever your work might be. Maybe you work at a factory. And you go and work 8 hours. Okay? Or you're a teacher and you go in and you wrestle with these kids for 8 hours at school. Or you work at the bank and you shuffle money around, lots of paperwork, a lot of mental work, but you do that 8 hours a day. Or you work in a restaurant and whatever you might do, maybe cleaning dishes, maybe waiting on people, whatever it might be, that you're working 8 hours. Or you work on the farm for eight hours. Or you could think about mowing the lawn for 8 hours. That's your business. You're in the lawn care business. Or carpentry. Just whatever. Just think of whatever work it might be. You working 8 hours. Well, there were 300 denarii. That would be 300 days of work. That's the value of this spikenard. Was the representation of 300 days of work. That's a year. if you think in terms of 5-day work week that we have generally in our country, that's a year's work. Maybe just a little bit over a year's work. What is described about Mary taking this precious ointment and anointing the feet, the head, the body of Jesus for His burial, it represents a whole year's work. That's a lot. That's pretty expensive. Let's just say, if we tried to translate that into dollars, if you work making $10, let's say you make $10 an hour, you work 8 hours a day, that's $80 times 300. That's $24,000 for a little flask of this ointment, this perfumed oil. Well, no wonder the Bible calls it very costly. But if you think in terms of working, now whatever your job is, just think, I work for a whole year to save up, not spending on anything else, but you work for a whole year, 300 days you work, you take what you make from work, and you save it up to buy this little flask of perfumed oil. You see, that's what I had never thought about. And I thought, wow, that's pretty impressive. 300 days of work. I mean, just whatever your work is, think that you work for a week, and out of the end of the week, you're tired. I'm glad. TGIF. I'm glad it's Friday. You know, I've been really taxed out from working all week. But now think of working a whole year, 300 days out of the year. And you save all that up to make a sacrifice to the Lord. That is what's being described about this woman. That is quite impressive. Now, to kind of compare that maybe with some of the sacrifices that we make. Let's look at it this way. Let's say that we come to every public service that we have. We meet for 10 o'clock for Bible study, and then follow that for our worship, like we're in right now. That's 2 hours. If you come back Sunday night, that's another hour. And if you come on Wednesday night, that's another. That's 4 hours if you come to every service every week. For 1 week, that's 4 hours of time. It would take 2 weeks to make 8 hours in sacrifice to the Lord. So if every 2 weeks we put in 8 hours of service to the Lord, and you multiply that times 300 days of work, that would be 600 a week. You know, our sacrifices that we make in the public service of coming every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, we would have to serve the Lord 11.53 years to equal the sacrifice that Mary made when she anointed Jesus with this precious ointment. Boy, that's pretty impressive. When you look at the sacrifice that she's made, that she made here. 300 days, that is times 8, 2,400 hours of service that she put in to buy and to obtain this little bottle of precious ointment here. Do you see why her sacrifice, her love, her devotion is incredible? That represents a lot. I mean, just think back, if you've been a Christian that long, over the last 11 and a half years of all the services that you've made, and times where you were tired and you didn't feel good, and yet you came, you think, boy, I'm really making some sacrifice to the Lord. And it is. But she did that in offering this one sacrifice to the Lord. It's tremendous. It just astounds me to think about and to realize, fully realize, 300 denarii, 300 pence, whatever translation you're looking at, look at it as 300 days of labor to buy this precious ointment. All right, as we continue on, talking about her sacrifice, her love, devotion, there's some other things that are said here in our text. Well, we learn that Judas Iscariot, he's the kind of fellow that speaks up. We know that the other apostles, or at least some of them, they sort of joined in. He's the one that spoke up. And it's interesting as we look in John's account, notice there in verses 4 through 6 again, then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And then John gives some commentary about this. Then this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, And he had the bag, and bear that was put therein. So he was kind of like the treasurer guy. And he was sort of kind of dipping into the treasury. And of course, the other apostles, that sounded pretty reasonable. 300 denarii. If you're thinking 300 days of work, I mean, $24,000, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little less, depending in today's terms. You know, 300 days, could you imagine working 300 days? That represents a lot of money. And other apostles go, well, yeah, that seems a little bit excessive. That seems a little bit extravagant here. But no. He speaks up because he's a thief. He's covetous. Now, if we look in Mark's account, Jesus says there in Mark's account, there in number 6, says, let her alone. I trouble you her. She hath wrought a good work on me. Now, what is interesting about that phrase is the word good literally means beautiful. She hath wrought a beautiful work on me. Indeed it was. Because what she was doing, not only just the act of doing it, which was beautiful in itself, but what she was anointed with, this precious spikenard, which represents 300 days of work and labor, a whole year of work, sacrificing every penny that you make for a whole year to buy this perfume. Yeah, well, no wonder it's not just a good work, but a beautiful work. Quite impressive, quite impressive. And then notice there in verse 7, a statement that the Lord makes. He says, for you have the poor with you always, and whenever you will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always. All right, first point. He said, you always have poor people. I think it was earlier this year here, was the 50th anniversary of LBJ's great pronouncement of the war on poverty. Peter just read his Bible. You can't win that war. Why? Because Jesus said the poor you always have with you. It doesn't work. Trillions of dollars have been spent, and we still have more people. We have more people on food stamps than we've ever had. You see, Jesus said, you always will have the poor with you. Why pronounce a war something that Jesus said you always have? Because Jesus and God has always been right, and human beings, they have, you know, maybe it was good intentions, but it was just ignorance on his part. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. And you don't always have occasion to do them good. But he says, but me ye have not always. You see, Jesus was going to ascend back to heaven. And there's a great lesson in and of itself there. Me ye have not always. It's like when you have little kids. We don't have little kids anymore. Well, we got grandkids, but we don't have little kids. Our children grew up. And while your children are small, in exhortation to parents, your children, you'll not always have your children. They will not always be little. They grow up. And parents need to take advantage of training, of instructing, of teaching, of spending time with them, instilling the ways of God while young, because they will grow up. And they will not be there as little kids anymore. But me, you have not always. And then notice there in verse 8, a very important concept that is stated there. Jesus says, she had done what she could. She's done what she could. That's a tremendous lesson. She's done what she could. That's all the Lord's asking us. Just do what you can. You know, sometimes we get thinking and we look round about and we see things that people are doing and say, boy, I wish I could leave the singing. Well, I wish I could teach the Bible class. You know, I wish I could do this, and I wish I could do that. Well, just do what you can. That's all the Lord's asking of us, is it not? Just do what you can. Yeah, that's what the Lord asks us. It's the principle there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 when Paul is talking about giving. He says specifically the topic of giving. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. I mean, we might think, boy, I wish I could lay $1,000 in the contribution every Sunday. Well, if you can, great. But you see, it's accepted of what a man has, not what he has not. That's the point. That's the lesson to be learned, is that we'll just do what you can. If I can't lay, you know, $10, $100 bills in the collection, so what? If I lay a dollar bill, if I lay a $10 bill, whatever it might be, what we are capable of doing, that's all God asked of us. She's done what she could. And when it comes to the work of the Lord, that's all God asked of us. Just do what you can. And she did what she could. And she is commended for it. He says, this was to anoint me for my burial. Jesus would soon die. I don't. Maybe she was more perceptive. See, it seemed like the apostles is like some of the things that's like they were sort of like blinders. They wasn't catching what Jesus was saying. I mean, he was saying, you know, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed, and they're going to betray and kill me, and I'll be raised the third day. And so I whoop, went right over the head. It just didn't seem to lodge. But maybe Mary sort of kind of got a hold of what was happening, and maybe a little bit more perceptive, maybe a little bit more intuition, or a little bit more attuned. She said, no, she's anointed me for burial. And then Jesus says there in verse 9, as also in Matthew's account, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world. Could you imagine here in Quail, Kentucky, Rockcastle County, Kentucky, we are talking about Mary. We're talking about the sacrifice. We're talking about what she did here in 2015. Almost 2,000 years down the line, we're still talking about this, of what she did. I don't think she had in her mind, you know what I need to do is get this real special spikenard and anoint Jesus so people will remember me. It wasn't anything about that. She did this out of her devotion and love for the Lord. And Jesus took note of the tremendous sacrifice. A representation of a whole year's work. You're not keeping a penny of it. Saving every penny you make for a whole work to buy the special ointment. That is, to me, it's just incredible. The special sacrifice that she made here. And Jesus says, and wherever the gospel is going to be preached, this also that she had done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And so we remember the great sacrifice, the great devotion of this woman. She sets a tremendous example. She sets the bar pretty high. Because that's what God wants us to be, is to be devoted, to have love, be willing to make sacrifices, to be like Mary, and to just be devoted to the Lord wholeheartedly. It had to be a wholehearted commitment, what she was doing here. It wasn't that she just scrambled in her pocket and just kind of just made, you know, hey, I'll run down to the dollar store and buy one of those bottles of cheap perfume to anoint Jesus. No, it wasn't anything like that. It was calculated in her mind, in her heart, to make such a tremendous sacrifice that she did for our Lord. And that's what God wants us to be, is people that would follow in an example like well, we turn our thoughts now to the invitation. If you find yourself in sin, and all of us are, Romans 3 and verse 23, we can get out of the mire of sin. How? Well, by obeying the gospel. We hear the good news of how Jesus died on the cross. And we're to believe that message with all our hearts. And then we are to repent. We're to make a turnabout. And then we make that confession that, yes, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then to be baptized. Those are the steps that makes us a Christian when we obey them, and then we to be faithful. And what's the ultimate end of obeying the gospel and being faithful? Well, it's a home in heaven. And that's what the invitation is, that Jesus is inviting us to come to Him, to find forgiveness, and come and enjoy and bask in the hope of heaven. And the fruition of that is when Jesus returns, we'll be taken to glory, and that's the hope and the goal of the child of God. If there's one here that needs to obey the gospel, we can help you in any way. You come and let us know while together as we're standing, as we're standing.